Hello and welcome to another episode of the Why We Love podcast. My name's Dave.
And I'm Moxie.
And this week we are talking about the Disney superhero, often forgotten classic, I guess.
Classic.
Sky High.
Yes, superhero action adventure teen comedy. That's maybe going a bit too far.
It's camp rock with capes, I think. But
I'm gonna have to take your word for that because I haven't seen Camp Rock.
I haven't either. But
oh, okay.
Camp Rock with capes sounded nice to say. So
yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's a bit of a tagline extraordinaire.
I have my moments.
You do. Bless you. Sky High is not one of them. but I'm being unfair. It's not like it's rubbish or anything. It just, it was an interesting choice on your behalf, I'll say. but tell me, how old were you when you saw Sky High?
Well, I definitely saw it in the cinema.
Wow, okay.
And it came out in 2005, which is 15 years ago.
Yes, the anniversary is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be actually the day this is released.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
It'll be the something anniversary.
15 year anniversary?
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Because 15 years. Yeah, I get it. So I would have been 10 when I saw this.
Oh.
And I had not seen it again until 2 weeks ago when I decided to watch it to see if it held up.
And?
Oh, it holds up. It's absolutely beautiful.
I am shocked and stunned. What is it that you love so much about it?
Well, at the time, I think it was just, like, I think at that time I'd, like, officially got into the groove of geek who likes superheroes.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, the casting, it's such an odd film because it's got all these people in it that I know now for things they've done.
Yeah.
But back then they hadn't done much, or some of them had done much, but I wouldn't have known the things they were famous for back then.
Do you mean the children roles?
Well, some of them, I mean, you've got Kurt Russell and, oh, I'll remember his name in a second.
Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, Bruce Campbell. I was just going to call him Ash, because I couldn't remember his written name.
That was a nice surprise, I have to say. His character was one of the things that I enjoyed about the film.
Oh, one of the things? That means there was more than one thing you enjoyed. Yes.
Wow.
So yeah, Kurt Russell and Bruce Campbell were one of the people who, watching it again, I was like, oh, they're in it. I like them from things. But at the time, I wouldn't have known them for anything.
Right, I see.
And in terms of the children, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's gone on to do, like, all sorts of varying quality. Scott Pilgrim, brilliant. 10 Cloverfield Lane, also brilliant. Final Destination 3, not brilliant.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, so did I try. And also Danielle Panabaker, who is the plant girl.
Layla?
Yeah,
Layla.
Yeah.
I'm just checking IMDb.
Oh, I was checking Wikipedia. Well, she now plays Killer Frost in the Flash TV series.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched that, but I'm familiar with it.
He's a guy. He runs fast.
Yeah, know who the Flash is, but he's a bit... I don't know.
All of his villains run fast too, because...
they'd have to.
But yeah.
The younger guy, the one who plays the main boy, Michael Angarano?
Yep.
Angarano? Not sure how you pronounce that. He was the little boy in Almost Famous. I swear that was him. I'm just going to double check now that I've said it out loud. Cause...
Oh, no. He was. He played the old person.
Yeah, he plays the kid, as a little boy, who's just adorable. Was he the kid in Will and Grace as well?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yes. That was back when I watched Will and Grace, 100 years ago. Yeah, I recognised him, and obviously I recognised Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and I recognised the adults, but the rest of the kids, I really wouldn't know from anything.
I don't know any of them either.
I suppose we should maybe describe the film for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Okay.
Did you want to do that?
Well, I think I'm the only one who will be honest and not deliberately negative about it.
I'm not being deliberately negative. I'm just saying what I'm gonna say. I said what I said, but I haven't actually said it yet. go on, you tell the folks at home what the movie's all about.
It's about... Mike, how do you pronounce his name now? Mike
Angarano?
That's the one. Michael Angarano plays a kid who is called Will, who is the offspring of two famous superheroes, the Commander, played by Kurt Russell, and Jetstream, played by Kelly Preston. And he goes to a school for superheroes, and he initially doesn't show any sign of having any powers, but during the course of the film he learns not only does he have superpowers, but he also learns some life lessons along the way.
In a very special episode.
It is one of those things. It is that, like, you know, the standard, like, high school plot of bunch of misfits go to school, one of them becomes inexplicably cool but loses all of his uncool friends because he's with the cool kids, but then he realizes the cool kids are nasty, so he goes back to his misfits friends, and it turns out the misfits are actually the coolest people all along, something, something. But this time there's caves.
Yes, it's a fairly simple, standard coming-of-age sort of flick, I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's Disney. It's a Disney film. What was I expecting?
Yeah, Disney before they owned Marvel, so up until like 2 years ago this was all they had.
I actually, when I was doing a bit of research into the film, I saw that they wanted to make a sequel, or they had planned to make a sequel.
Yeah, I didn't know that till I read the small section on Wikipedia about 2 minutes ago, and now I'm very excited.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I've just got to the end where it goes, as of 2020, there were no new developments on the TV series.
I mean, you never know. You never know. But I am a little bit surprised that there wasn't a sequel, because it's that sort of thing, isn't it? That could have been a full franchise.
Yeah. Well, the plans for the TV series, apparently everybody signed on except for Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston.
Yeah, that's kind of understandable.
Now, while that is disappointing, because I love Kurt Russell, and I don't know that Kelly Preston's done anything, like, you know, horrifically monstrous, so she seems fine too. But if it was just those two not in it, That means there'd be a TV series where Mary Elizabeth Winstead would be a regular character. And
that thrills you.
That thrills me. Yeah.
Bottom line, that thrills you.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't it? She's a great actress.
She is.
I like her a lot. However, delete that. However, she was good in Sky High, I have to say. In fact, they're all quite good. The performances, I cannot fault, you know? They did a good job. And like you say, I love Kurt Russell. He's so watchable. I will watch him in pretty much anything. And we should point out, actually, Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, really. It's not funny, but it just seems like every time we do a podcast, another celebrity has passed away. And it just so happens that, a couple of weeks ago, last week?
Yeah, it's like disturbingly recent.
Yeah, it's becoming pretty regular. but Kelly Preston, who plays Jetstream, the mum, she passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, rest in peace to Kelly Preston.
She passed away on July the 12th.
Oh, there we go. I thought it was a couple of weeks ago. I'm not overly familiar with her work, to be honest. I've seen her in a few things and I know who she is. But I just thought I'd mention it.
I haven't seen her in anything apart from this film. But she has been in, because presumably because she was married to him for a bit, she's been in two films with John Travolta.
Yeah.
And they are two of the biggest stinkers that he has ever done.
Oh no, really? What were they?
Battlefield Earth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which was Star Wars for Scientologists, I believe.
Yeah.
And the biographical film, Gotti, about...
Oh, yeah, John Gotti, yeah.
Which apparently is terrible.
I've never seen it.
I haven't either, but it's one of those ones where it's terrible, but, like, in a funny way.
Oh, I see. So bad it's good.
Yeah, like, it's, like, the film is narrated by the character of Gotti, but after he's dead, so it's technically the ghost of Gotti's narrating his life. It's weird.
Oh, she was in Jerry Maguire. I have seen that film perhaps twice in my life. I do not remember her being in it.
I haven't seen it at all. Isn't that
Tales from the Crypt? Oh my god, she was in Twins! Of course she was.
The Danny DeVito Arnold Schwarzenegger classic.
The classic, yes. She's you know, I'm assuming you've seen Twins.
You are assuming wrong.
What? You haven't seen Clue? You haven't seen? I need to send you a list, my friend, of things that will enrich your life.
I've seen some good things.
Okay.
Yes. Don't ask me to list any of them because you'll get very annoyed very quickly.
What was I saying? Yeah, she's in Twins. She's one of the... She's the girl, woman, I should say, that ends up with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Spoilers for a film that's like 30, 40 years old. Anyway,
oh, yeah, that I just reminds thought... me. We're spoiling Sky High, guys. Okay, buckle in.
I think it's a given now, if you listen to our podcast, that shit's going to get spoiled. We don't need to tell you it's going to be spoiled. It just happens. Yeah, okay, so shall I tell you what I thought?
if you must. My God.
Okay, so I will be perfectly honest and say that the first 20 minutes of Sky High were challenging for me. I struggled a bit, and I did think to myself, if it wasn't for this podcast, man, I would switch this off. This ain't for me. But because I like you, I was like, no, come on, Moxie, do your job, open mind, let's do this. And, you know, overall, it's not bad. It's not crap. It just is not for me. Like I say, I love Kurt Russell. I will watch him in anything. I love that Bruce Campbell pops up as the crazy gym teacher.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, that was great. I love that Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, is the... I was going to say president. That's not right. I've been watching too much West Wing. Principal. Wonder Woman is the principal. I like
oh,
that.
She?
Yeah, she's the original Wonder Woman.
I knew Linda Carter's the original Wonder Woman. I just didn't know that was who was playing the principal.
Ah, yes, that's her.
Ah.
Who else? Oh, I've got a note about the grandmother from Malcolm in the Middle. She was in Sky High.
Was she?
Yeah. I wouldn't expect anybody else to care or notice, but I noticed.
I've seen a lot of Malcolm in the Middle, but I just don't remember the grandmother.
She comes in quite late into the series, if memory... Oh, hang on, no, she does pop up a few times throughout the early seasons, but it's towards the later ones that she's a bit more regular.
Okay, I'm going to Google her now.
Cloris Leachman, I think, is her name.
What now?
Cloris, C-L-O-R-I-S. I swear that's her name.
Well, that is a real person on the internet.
It's somebody. It's yeah. A real name.
Yeah.
Do you recognise her at all? No?
I don't. She's... Although, if there are any fans out there, the next film she's going to be in is The Croods 2, so...
Oh, okay.
Look out for that.
Yeah. They await with bated breath. And Jim Rash, who I love... who plays the dean in Community. He's in Sky High, and I really enjoyed his character a lot. He was a lot of fun as this, should I say? He starts off looking very normal. Newt. Sorry, my dog is scratching herself and being loud. yeah. His character starts off as a very average, normal sort of dad. And throughout the film, we've been seeing the shadows of this villainous person and their sidekick, who's a very high-pitched, cartoonish-sounding person. And it turns out to be the Dean from Community. And I was chuffed to bits, because I think he's great. I enjoyed, actually... the soundtrack to the film, because it had all these like 80s covers.
I can't remember much about the soundtrack. I just know that in the opening bit, the bit of the film that you found challenging,
yes.
I think that was a bit I also found challenging because it's this type of film. It's dated by the soundtrack.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look up the soundtrack to remind myself of what they were, because they were well-known 80s tracks, but that had been done by, like, I don't know, Bowling for Soup or...
Oh, yeah, Bowling for Soup is the first song. Yeah.
There we go, see? I'm cool, kids. I know about Bowling for Soup, and they might be giants. I don't like them, but I know of them.
Wow, I'm looking at this list, and amazingly, I know most of the original, the bands who did the original versions.
Yeah.
And I know very, very little of the people doing the covers.
Right.
In fact, Bowling for Soup and They Might Be Giants are the only ones that I've heard of.
Right. there we go. They did Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Please, please, please let me get what I want, which was a horrible cover, but nonetheless, I was like, okay, okay. Just What I Needed, I think that's a cover as well. Anyway, the point is.
Just What I Need. This is me going on a tangent, but
here we go. Strap in, folks.
It kind of relates. The song that you where was it? Just What I Needed is originally by The Cars.
Right, I knew it was a cover. Yeah.
And The Cars did a song called You Might Think.
Okay.
Which is very, very bad, but
okay.
Once you've heard it, it will be stuck in your head forever and you will be compelled to listen to it.
Oh, it's one of those. Okay.
Yeah. And that song is a key plot point in a very, very good TV series that was cancelled after one series called Brain Dead.
Okay.
And the star and central character of Brain Dead was Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, okay, I see what you did there. We've gone full circle.
Everything connects.
Everything's connected, man. Interesting.
I mean, it's not, but thank you for humouring.
I'll let you go on a tangent. It's fine. I'm not just going to leave you out in the cold. Well, I might, but... okay, so... The interesting thing about this film, and I'll be honest, it was really the only interesting thing for me in the film, was the conversation that the main boy, Will, has with his dad, again, played by Kurt Russell. Because in the film, the boy doesn't have any superpowers, or thinks he doesn't have any superpowers.
Yeah.
And all of his friends are deemed sidekicks. Their powers aren't good enough to be superheroes, so they're put in the corner as sidekicks.
Yep.
And, the conversation that Will has with his dad about him, first of all, having friends who are sidekicks, and then coming out, as you will, as not having any powers. That was an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Just in terms of, you could, if you were to watch that film and you're a gay kid, you know, or part of the LGBTQ community, you could quite easily view that scene as a metaphor for coming out.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Am I alone? Can you not remember the bit I'm talking about?
I know. I think I can.
And Kurt Russell gets really angry with him.
Yeah. So yeah, it is that bit. I was like, no, I'm just thinking, if I was a gay person, I would not want to relate to that scene in any way, because that's like a really,
I know, right?
A horrible
moment. Yeah, it's the worst. Well, I mean, Kurt Russell didn't kick him out of the house, but that is a lot of the fear involved with coming out, I believe. But it did make me think about it, because Kurt Russell at first is very, oh, good for you for having sidekicks as friends, you know, very woke of him.
Yeah.
Only to then have his son say, well, look, I might end up being a superhero because I don't have any powers. And his dad gets really angry with him. And while that's, the worst outcome for that sort of conversation, I just thought it was interesting, especially because it was back in 2005. It's not the sort of thing you would have expected from Disney as well.
No.
Not back then, anyway.
Well, I don't see. I'd be more with you as well with it being a metaphor for that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that Disney now are so retrograde with their, like, general, like, acknowledgement of gay people.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Look, I know there would... God, why is it that every episode I end up moaning about fucking Star Wars? Right. I know there were two women who kissed at the end of Rise of Skywalker, but everybody knows that Finn and Poe were just so horny for each other the whole time.
Yes!
But they...
So homoerotic.
They didn't make it happen. They had two people that could easily be airbrushed out so the film would do well in China. So,
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about the kiss at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are weird. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. Perhaps I'm reading way too much into it, but the way it was presented... It really made me feel like this feels like a wink and a nod to how progressive they are, even though the dad flipped out.
It could be, and but like if that was a nod to what up gay people, they really should have thought through the narrative, because at the end everything's fine because he actually does have powers, so he's not a sidekick, so it's all good. So
I know, right? I was thinking that, because bashing the desk. That's not a metaphor.
Filled with rage.
Yeah, right. Trash in the joint. Yeah, it was a little bit annoying because I took that reading from it and was like, oh, okay, that seems like a wink and a nod. And then nothing else came of it. Nothing else was presented in such a way. So I was like, oh, okay, that was a bit weak. But again, it is Disney. So what do you expect?
Yeah.
I thought... Mary Elizabeth Winstead was really good, and it's not her fault that it was predictable that her nice girl facade was just that, and that she was going to turn out to be a horrible person.
Right, now I want to probe into this a bit, because you've just said that, and I am well known for being a total dumbass when it comes to really easy things.
Okay.
And the one... is, and this is a tangent as well, when I was like a kid, probably the same age I would have been when I was watching this, so 10, give me a break. Okay. There was a TV show on CBBC called Raven.
With Raven Simonier?
No, with James McKenzie, a Scottish man who wore eyeliner and a cape.
Okay.
Right. And it was a game show. It was like it was basically they'd get a bunch of kids and they'd go around medieval themed like challenge areas.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in like cloaks would like throw what were obviously sponge rocks at them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the final kid was like the ultimate champion, the well done, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But built into this game show, presumably to keep the kids at home watching, they set up this whole mystical lore thing. And Raven, who was James McKenzie, the Scottish man with the eyeliner, and let me tell you, I'm guessing a number of gay people from my generation... Raven probably had something to do with it, because, you know, he was a good-looking dude, and he rocked the eyeliner pretty well. But
what was his name again, sorry?
James McKenzie.
James McKenzie. I'm going to Google this so I can see what you're talking about. The wonders of technology. Okay, images.
Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, it looks like him. That was 2002. Why do I have no memory of this? I mean, I guess I wasn't watching CBBCs, but still, you'd think something like this would have come up on my radar.
Yeah.
Huh, well, okay.
Well, anyway, they built into the show a villain for Raven to have, who was called Navar.
Okay.
And now, do you know what Navar is?
I know it's Raven backwards.
Fucking hell, yes. I did not pick that up at the time, because I was 10.
Yeah.
But when I got to university, we were talking about things we were nostalgic for, and I mentioned Raven, and I was like, oh, and it was great, and then there was the villain with the spooky mask, you know, Navar, and my friend just casually went, oh, yeah, and he was called that because it was Raven backwards, and that blew my fucking mind. I, like, got a piece of paper and wrote Raven down and just looked at it. And I was like, this, what? And, yeah, my mind was blown. So I'm a bit of a dumbass when it comes to, like, stuff. So even though Mary Elizabeth Winstead is obviously, like, a real, like, catty bitch when she's mean to Layla.
Yeah.
Did you realise at that point that she was probably, like, royal pain?
No.
Good! That's good. Because when I originally saw it, that blew my mind. And that was the only thing I could remember about this film.
Okay.
Before watching it a second time was that brilliant twist at the end where it turns out Mary Elizabeth Winstead is royal pain.
Yes, the big bad villain, the big bad.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot, actually. Like I said, it was predictable that she wasn't the nice girl she pretended to be.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a surprise, but when it is revealed that she is the big villain, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That moment was so cool. Mm. Just casting my mind back to when I was 10.
Yeah.
Just that where she's like the most powerful person to ever walk the halls of Sky High, me, and she does the thing with the cape, and I was like, what? No!
Like, that's sweet, though. That's cool that you remember that. You know, at such a young age and whatever.
Yeah.
There's plenty of films that I had the same reaction with. And you're 10. You know, it's fine if you don't get that, you know, the villain is the hero's name spelled backwards, or you didn't pick up that she was going to be the big bad. You know, you're a kid. That's fine. You're probably not supposed to have thought that. You're not supposed to be that critical that young.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was cool that it was a woman villain. And that it was her. Because I had not seen that coming.
Yeah. You know what's great, though? Mm. Well, not great, but I've just noticed it from looking at the cast list on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Another, inverted commas, person who was in it.
Yeah.
Voice only.
Is
that when Mary Elizabeth Winstead puts on the helm, the Royal Pain helmet?
Oh, is it somebody else?
The voice is Patrick Warburton.
I know that name. Why do I know his name? Who is he?
Hey, Peter. Joe from Family Guy.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to edit out the bit where I say, hey, Peter, because that was awful.
It was all right. Oh, wow, okay. That's a little bit disappointing, though, that it wasn't her. You know?
I
thought that. When I was watching it, I thought to myself, I wonder if that's her actually doing those lines or if it's somebody else. It's a little bit disappointing to know it's somebody else.
Well, suppose in the earlier parts of the film, if it was, like, obviously a woman's voice, it would have been like...
Oh, they didn't have to keep it as a woman's voice. They could have altered it digitally so that, you know, it sounds weird and not disfigured.
Distorted.
Distorted, thank you. Oh. I'm going to blame the painkillers. For genuine pain. just if anybody's listening and like,
she
likes a doll. No. This is genuine pain kit for pain. It's called back pain. It's real, I promise.
So real. Enjoy the ketamine.
Ketamine. Threaten me with a good time. What a bunch. No, just boring old lyrica, which makes your brain go strange places. I could have worded that better, but I'm going to blame the lyrica. What else? What else did I enjoy? I really don't have many notes, to be perfectly honest, but my main point about Sky High is this. It's inoffensive, fun fodder for kids from Disney. It's fine. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It did nothing for me. But I'm old. You know? But then I was saying to my husband, it's weird how there are plenty of kids' films that I still watch today that I love and enjoy. So I don't think it's just that I'm old. I think it's just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like milquetoast. It's fairly bland, but inoffensive. If I had kids and they said, I want to watch Sky High, fine, go watch it, have fun. But beyond that, I got to say, it's not for me. I'm so sorry, but it's just you know, meh. It's fine. It's fine, you know. So yeah, that's my takeaway about Sky High. Did you have any feelings? Did your view of the film change when you watched it a second time around? For this?
Well, my memory of it was, I remembered that Kurt Russell was in it, and I remembered that Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in it, and I remembered the twist and that I enjoyed it a lot.
Right.
So, watching it, I remembered all the stuff that I'd forgotten. But, you know, but in terms of my opinion, I'm going to say, no. Like, I mean, I don't know, because like my enjoyment of it was different this time around, because the first time I watched it, my enjoyment was just, oh, I'm 10 and this is fun.
Yeah.
Whereas now it was like, oh, I'm 25 and I've forgotten how good this was, so.
Well, funnily enough, I tweeted about how we were recording tonight and it was going to be about Sky High, and a few people tweeted me and said, oh, I've got fond memories of that, and they're my age, so yes. It's clearly not an fuck you, it's clearly not an age thing, because obviously plenty of people my age and older enjoy it. It just wasn't for me, and I'm a bit disappointed that it wasn't for me. I wanted to come back to you and go, my god, that was good fun. But I just didn't. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know what that tells me? If other people your age liked it and you didn't, it tells me that all that ketamine has turned you into a bitter husk of a person.
I didn't need ketamine for that.
But,
yes, perhaps it is that I'm dead inside. But do I disagree that I'm dead inside? I don't think so. But occasionally something will light the fire inside of me. And unfortunately, Sky High did not do that for me. I don't know what to tell you. but it did make me remember that we had brief... Ooh, see, I'm bashing the desk again. In a rage.
God, it reminds... All that ketamine just...
I've never even done ketamine. I don't know where this has come from. People out there in Radioland, they're going to think I'm some raging druggie and
You just wait till I write the show notes for this episode.
Oh, God. Ketamine addict, Moxie McMurder.
Yeah.
Watching again. So anyway, watching this film, it reminded me that you and I had had a very brief conversation about Scott Pilgrim, which also features Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yes.
And you are a fan, I believe.
I am indeed.
And you've read some of the books, or you've started reading the books, comics?
Yeah, I got the... I bought, like, all six of them off eBay in what, in what I thought was a box set due to a misleading photo.
Oh, no!
They're all in excellent condition. I can't fault that.
Okay.
But what I thought was a box was just, like, a little, like, wraparound sleeve thing, not... box, but anyway, that is irrelevant. But I've read all the first one and most of the second one.
Okay.
And it's like the film follow what the film does. We shouldn't be getting too much into this because I had a feeling you were going to make a point there about Scott Pilgrim. But the thing I've noticed is that in Scott Pilgrim the film is very normal compared to Scott Pilgrim the books.
Oh, okay.
The books are really out there. So
I knew that I kind of know a little bit about the books, but not too much because I've not read them. But I love the film.
The film is just beautiful.
Yeah. When I was watching Sky, ooh. I'm so sorry, I keep knocking the desk. It's because of this stupid pop stand. I'm never using this again.
Pop stand? Street stand for ketamine?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to ignore that and move on. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she's in Scott Pilgrim. We talked about it before. We both enjoy it.
Yep.
And I was thinking perhaps we should do an episode about it at some point. Maybe even the next one. But we don't have to. It was just a thought.
Sounds good. I haven't watched it in a while either, so
And it's fantastic. I saw that in the cinema twice. Because it was just fantastic.
it's probably one of my favourites, ever.
Okay. That's good to know. What else? I haven't got any notes on that page either. How unprofessional. We spoke briefly about the sequel to Sky High. They were going to do a TV show about Sky High, but that didn't come to anything.
No.
So I don't think there's going to be a sequel to it. But I am surprised there isn't one, because it is the sort of thing that they would pump out incessantly.
Yeah, well, it said the reason they didn't do it was, because it didn't make enough money, and I was like, it made over double its money back, so, you know.
It's Disney, though. They want more.
Yeah, to satisfy that mad mouse's cocaine habit.
Oh, not ketamine this time.
No. Yeah, that's just you. Mickey Mouse, though, just hoovers up the cocaine.
You can totally picture it. I mean, he's so... always so high-pitched, and that was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was very good. It was like he was in the room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Moxie McMurder, voice actor extraordinaire.
Best of friends, you can do yourself ketamine addict and the voice of a drug-addled mouse.
See, now that's a CV that would grab attention. You cannot buy that kind of publicity. Zawling. I don't have any more notes. So we're free balling.
Fuck.
Do you have any extra stuff that you want to talk about with Sky High? Any trivia?
I mean, I feel like I should, because I was like, oh yeah, we should definitely do an episode on this. But at the same time, me saying that was also just, you know what? Moxie needs to see this film, because I thought you would like it. So. Or like it more than you actually did, you know?
Yeah. No. But bless your heart for trying. Keep trying. You never know. Something could crack open this dry, empty, dead husk of a person.
Let's hope it's Batman versus Superman.
Well, it's more likely to be that than the Wicker Man remake, but we won't go into that. Because that will just... That's so for another time. Shut your mouth. How dare you? No. Not now. Not now, David! That needs a whole episode to itself, I'm sure. I haven't even seen it. I really don't want to see it. I cannot believe I will do it for this podcast, but I will.
I'm more shocked that you have just flat out not seen it. If you'd seen it and said it's dog shit and I never want to watch it again,
yeah,
that I would kind of understand. It's the fact that you just haven't seen this at all, because it's one of those films that the more you hear about it, it's like, no, Simon Helberg, he plays Howard on The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, I know who you mean.
Yeah, well, he does really good impressions, and one of them is Nicolas Cage.
Yes, I've seen his impression of that.
Yeah, and he was on Conan the once, mm-hmm. and he was talking about The Wicker Man, and he said the climax of the film, and so this is a mild spoiler, kind of, but not really, where he says Nick Cage screams, the climax of the film is Nick Cage screaming, "You bitches, it's all for honey." And I was like, what? And then I was like, what is this film? And then I forgot about it for a few months, and then, you know, you see someone talking about how, like, there's just a scene where Nick Cage is dressed up as a bear and just punches someone.
Okay.
I was like, what? And I eventually watched this just dumb fuck film. And it's so funny, and nothing about it. It's not like Midsommar, where nothing, everything's a bit off and it doesn't fit together, and there's like some creepy stuff going on. This is just none of the people who were writing the film like ever spent like any time in the same room ever, so it's just shit everywhere.
Oh dear. I just, part of the reason I avoided it is because I'm such a big fan of the original film that I didn't, instead of just shitting all over it and saying it's a bunch of bullshit, I just didn't watch it to avoid, well, for one thing, sitting through it, and, you know, to avoid just being one of those people that just endlessly shits all over films. Do you know what I mean? I want to give these remakes a chance. I do. But the Wicker Man remake made it so fucking hard. I'm stuttering into the wind here, because I can't. I really don't want to watch it. My husband gave me such a look when I said, "Guess what? It might actually happen."
As remakes go, now I haven't seen the original, so I can't comment on the veracity, is that the right word?
Yes.
I think I can't say for certain whether this is true, but I think it's like a remake like the 2018 Black Christmas or the 2000s-ish remake of Prom Night.
Prom Night, yeah.
It's like, it's a remake, but in name only.
Yeah.
Like, you know, spoiler alert, he goes to an island and gets set on fire, but like, it's like, there the similarities end, I think.
Yes, yes. Yeah, see, part of me wants to be all like open-minded about it and say, you know, hey, it's fine, you know, that this awful piece of shit exists and that it has the temerity to call itself the Wicker Man. But
well, the original working title was called Nick Cage Hates Bees and Gets Set on Fire, but people thought, no, that's too long, people won't go for that.
Not the bees. Yeah, I mean, I'll do it if you really want to, but oh, I can imagine the rant that will ensue, because I love the original. It is incredible. I would say I can't believe you haven't seen it, but so far you haven't seen Clue, and you haven't seen Twins, and you haven't seen The Wicker Man. This is shocking. Shocking lack of film. Ooh, education. See, I'm getting angry. Smacking the desk. Shocking. Shocking. Are you interested in the original?
The original Wicker Man?
Yeah.
Because
I think, if I'm going to watch the remake, you should watch the original.
I mean, I don't see... putting you off? It's just...
Say it.
I don't know, it's just... It's I have a, like... There's, like, certain eras of films I can go back to, but there has to be a very specific, like, yearning for me to go back to black and white days.
You're killing me. Continue.
No, that's just it.
That's just it. You just don't really like old films. You have to have the need.
Yeah, like, there's a certain, like, level I can go back far enough. I think it's, like, roughly the 70s, maybe.
The 70s.
I mean, there are a few black and white films I have seen, but I think, like, well, two for definite, and they're both Alfred Hitchcock films.
Okay. You're creeping slightly closer towards my standards.
I was going to say, one of them's Psycho, and the other one is The Lady Vanishes.
Okay.
And I love The Lady Vanishes. It's very good.
I love The Lady Vanishes, but, funnily enough, this is so off topic, but
yeah,
anyway.
Really is.
I love Hitchcock's The Lady Vanishes, but I actually prefer... I can't remember who directed it. It was made in the 70s with Elliot Gould and Sybil Shepherd and Angela Lansbury. And it's so much fun! I love it. But then I'm biased because I'll watch anything that Elliot Gould is in because he's lovely. Yeah, I actually prefer, despite loving Hitchcock, I prefer the 70s version. So there you go. Yeah. I'm sure you really wanted to know that. I'm sure everyone at home really wanted to know that too. All 10, 12 maybe listeners. Is that being too generous?
Five.
Five. Okay, well, hi, guys. Bye. Thanks for listening. Hi, Sinead. I know she's listening.
Oh, I thought you just made up a name then. I was like, fuck yeah.
Hi, Roberta.
Okay, is that a real person or have you made them?
No, that... I've made Roberta up, but Sinead exists, I promise you. Oh, hi, okay. Lyndon. He exists too.
Was it Lyndon?
Lyndon.
Okay. Yeah. Hello, Sinead, and hello, Lyndon. I don't know you, but it's nice to say hello to you anyway.
It is. They're regular listeners, and I, for one, really appreciate it. So shout out to them.
Are they willing regular listeners?
They are, bless them, because they're big film fans. So they're always on board to hear my wild opinions.
They're big film fans, so they listen to this.
Wow, and they support me, but yeah. They're interested in the subject matter. You know?
God help them if they were interested in hearing our thoughts on Maps to the Stars. Fuck.
I feel sorry for anybody who had to listen to that. And I'm starting to think that this is one of those episodes because we've gone all around the houses.
Oh, we stayed focused for 45 minutes.
What more did we expect?
I was going to say, I think Maps to the Stars, it was about 10 minutes. Then we started talking about the Kardashians and then it all went downhill.
Yeah. But hey, you know. It was fun. It was. What five celebrities do I have to remember this week? Don't ask me because I won't be able to do it.
Name all the Housewives of Orange County, I don't know.
Oh, I couldn't. I've never watched it. I would lose that round.
I haven't watched it either. I want to make that clear. I know that one of the housewives in one of the places is married to a guy called Harry Hamlin, and I only know that because of season 12 of Drag Race. So
the woman that they did on Drag Race, yeah, for Snatch Game, she was in an episode of Community. That's the only reason why I know who she is. No disrespect, but I was like, oh, it's that woman from Community. And I know her husband. I don't know him personally. I don't know Harry Hamlin, but I'm familiar with the man's work because I'm old. That was a good Snatch Game, just FYI. Her game was good, being that woman.
Yeah.
I bought it. Even though I've never watched her on that Housewives thing, I was like, that really does seem like something she'd say.
I think at that point I was like, Snatch Game was the thing that made me like, I was like, you know what, I am fully on board with Gigi.
Oh, totally. She smashed the game with her Snatch Game.
Yeah.
Snatched, gooped, gagged the lot.
Yeah.
Boots the house down. And
my favourite was still Jan, and I was gutted when she got.
Oh, my husband really liked Jan as well. I liked Jan too, but she wasn't my firm favorite, if you know what I mean.
Fair.
I did like her though. I was sad when she went. I don't think she deserved to go that early.
Nah.
Yeah.
I do want to get a t-shirt though with that face on it. That face she pulled.
The disappointed, like, it was a weird mix of disappointment and anger and
yeah.
Disappointment and bitterness and fuck my drag, right?
Right, yeah. Okay.
Poor Jack.
Yeah. Commiserations.
Yeah.
Sky
Hi,
High.
Hi, Jan. Yes. Sky High.
I just get to a point where I've forgotten everything I've said.
I was just going to say, if we just run out of words now and we're just making sounds.
I feel really bad when... Well, I always feel really bad because I'm like...
Why?
Well, because the last two times it's been films I've suggested and I've come to the table with way less to say than you have, and then we end up talking about...
Something else.
Yeah.
Well, it's a conversation, isn't it? You can't... You know, we're not interviewing each other.
That is true, but there are people out there who have fond memories of this film, so if they listen to this, they're going to be annoyed.
No, surely not. I mean, it's only Sky High. I mean, if you're that upset that one person doesn't like it...
Okay, step away from the ketamine, Moxie. Is that too much?
What? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I don't take it personally. See, this is the problem. Here we go. Get on my soapbox. This is the problem. That people take things personally, you know? If you say, I hate Game of Thrones, there are people out there who hear, I hate you. I think everything you do is rubbish and, you know, not worth my time. It's crap. They take it so personally. And I just don't understand it. There are things that I love so much But if somebody says, no, shit, that's okay. It's no skin off my nose. I really don't care if you don't like it. I like it. So I really think people just need to get over themselves and not take these things personally. I don't think Sky High is great. Sue me. You know, like, it's okay if I, one person, does not like a film. And I don't even dislike it particularly. I just think it's a bit meh.
I know, to be fair, I was just like playing you off about that too.
I suspected as much.
You put
20p in Moxie.
It is one of those things, like, I can see, like, if you, well, no, because you said you've got people who are like your age who have fond memories of it.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand, because they would have been like.
Well, I was 24 in 2005.
Hold on, let me do the maths here. You're 39?
Yeah, I'm 40 in February.
Ah, well done.
Thank you, I've survived this long, who knew?
But, like, watching it, like, I am prepared to believe that if the first time I'd watched it was, like, at 25, I'd like it. But, like, yeah, that's, like...
Let me try and put it a bit in perspective, I guess, in terms of the reveal at the end of Sky High that Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character is the big bad, right? Yeah. That blew your mind, okay? At 10 in 2005. In 2005, I was 24, I was married, I was working at the local video shop, and I'd already seen The Usual Suspects. So I'd already seen a lot of films at that point that had blown my mind. In a real, like, oh, I did not see that coming. That's amazing. What an incredible twist. So the reveal, if you will, isn't quite as impactful when you're an adult, because you've already seen so many twists and turns, you know?
Yep. I do love the fact, though, that you mentioned the twist of Mary Elizabeth Winstead being Royal Pain in the same breath as Kevin Spacey's Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze. Well, it's just like, to put it in perspective a bit, because, you know, if I had seen Sky High when it came out, the big reveal would just be like, oh, okay, she's the big bad, big deal, woohoo. Whereas I'd already seen things like Memento and The Usual Suspects and just tons of films with really good twists and turns. It's just I'm old. That's the bottom line, man. I'm old. No, I've got nothing to say. I'm just making sounds.
Oh, I was going to
say. Synthetic sounds.
I was going to say, yeah, like, but yeah, that's, like, for me, I think that's why I still like it now, because, like, I liked it so much when I was 10.
And I totally understand that.
Like, it has, like, I don't think anything else I've watched that I watched when I was 10 or younger has, like, stuck with me. Obviously, there are films that have stuck with me in various ways, but, like, literally, Sky High. All I remembered was I liked it and the twist. That was all I remembered about it.
Yeah, yeah. Get it, man. Like, there are tons of films that I watched when I was 10 that blew my mind. Yeah. For many different reasons. And I could watch them today and go, good God, that was crap. But you love what you love when you're a kid. And, you know, yeah. I get it. The fond nostalgia of it all. I get it, man. My dog is making so many noises.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah. I heard those.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her having a yawn. She's got to be heard, you know? She's like her mum. She's got a voice, and she's going to use it.
Arf.
Yes,
I think Sky High is good. Arf.
Yeah. Well, that's just a good opinion. Yeah. yeah, I can appreciate you enjoying it and wanting to rewatch it again for the nostalgia and the good feels. Yeah. I get it. It just it ain't for me.
Did you think, and I don't, could, did there's like a kind of a secondary twist in the film, but they kind of ruin it?
Is that the Jim Rash reveal of her sidekick?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. when she says the most powerful person ever to walk the halls of Sky High, me,
yeah.
and she puts on the Royal Pain gear, you're like, oh, she's Royal Pain. And Kurt Russell even goes, huh, Royal Pain was a girl? And but then outside, it's like, oh, you're Royal Pain's daughter. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm the actual Royal Pain, but I got young and stuff. And I was like, you know what? That plot thing, even though I know she can turn like adults into babies, it did not occur to me that that was like something that had happened. I just assumed that she was Royal Pain and not Royal Pain's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing of turning people into babies is a strange one.
Yeah. It's very, like, comic booky, though. Like,
oh, it is, yeah, massively.
Yeah.
There were little touches of comic book stuff that I liked in it, actually. There were a couple of, you know, ways that the scenes were shot and... There she goes again. yeah, the way things were shot and the camera movements at times and little moments of comic bookness that I did appreciate that were thrown in there.
Like the giant robot at the beginning.
That less so, but yes, yeah, that, okay.
That
sure.
felt like a comic booky thing. Like,
it did.
And weirdly enough, the CGI for that was surprisingly good.
Mm.
I thought anyway. But
yeah, no, it was fine. It was fine. Yeah, I think I enjoyed the more, I don't even want to call them subtle because they're not that subtle, but things like in the beginning when the commander, he gets a phone call and the camera kind of shoots to this red phone and he picks it up.
Yeah.
Skew little things like that I liked.
Yeah, because that's their whole setup was like very like Adam West Batman.
Yes, absolutely, literally shot like a panel in a comic.
Yeah.
And I liked those little touches, so that's something positive, right?
Yeah, right? That is something positive.
Yeah, something positive. That should be written down, the date and time that I said something positive. Oh, Newt, can you not? I'm so sorry. She's having a good scratch and a nibble and... Oh, noises. People at home must be like, what is she doing? Hello. Hello. Oh, she's getting involved. I'm so sorry. Hey, Pickle. Could you not? That's right, have a good sniff. So sorry, so sorry. We should play some, like, elevator music whilst Newt gets herself comfortable. Yeah. All right. I would lock her out of the room while I'm doing this, but she'll just bark because she's so needy. She has to be with me all the time. It's actually adorable.
Oh. Given that we've got to the stage where we're like fumbling for ideas, we've gone off on tangents a few times, and your yes. dog is fascinated with their own crotch.
Yes.
Shall we like
literally?
Shall we like wrap this up?
Yeah, maybe. Sure.
Okie dokie. So. Now we come to the obligatory and stupid part of our podcast where we rate a film out of 5.
No stars. No, I'm
fuck
kidding.
You.
I'm kidding. Are we going out of five again?
Yes.
Oh, I hate doing it out of five. You're so mean.
Do you really want ten? Do you really want to?
Yeah, that's true. No, I don't. Because I think, to be brutally honest, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. Why? What do you give it out of 5?
I mean...
Say it.
Now see, the thing is, like, I usually reserve 5 stars for films that, like...
You are not giving it 5 stars.
Hold on, let me finish. I give 5 stars only to films that are so bad I love them. Yeah. Don't want to spoil the outcome of the Wicker Man episode, but you're going to be so annoyed with me. But, like, for a film that I legitimately think is good, and I do have a lot of nostalgia for it, and watching it again was... like it was such a positive watch, because like the rule with things you're nostalgic for,
yeah,
generally for me is never go back, because it won't be as good as you remember.
Aww.
This was like one I went back to and I liked it. I am pretty much, I'm gonna say, as much as I liked it the first time around.
Okay,
so 4 out of 5.
What?
Don't judge me.
My dog agrees with me. She's oofing and buffing. Shush you. 4 out of 5. Well, outrageous.
Well, all I'm going to say about the person who disagrees with me is I've managed to talk for an hour without licking my own dick, so...
Hey, come on. Someone's got a nibbler bit, so I'm not going to do it. Wow, 4 out of 5. That gives it an 8 out of 10. I mean, that's redonkulous, but okay.
One of the bits as well, and actually we didn't talk about this, and it's just like there's not going to be no deep analysis here. This is just literally me going, hey, do you remember this bit in the film? I love how the bus driver, bloody whatever his face was, I'll close the Wikipedia window. Well, anyway, the bus driver gets annoyed because Will says the name Sky High using what I would call an indoor voice. He freaks out. He's like, what? Do you want all the supervillains to know where you're going? Like, that is too suspicious for him. Yet, driving off an unfinished road,
yeah,
and turning into a jet with Sky High written on the side. Fine. No problem with that. Even though, to the people below, there were just a load of people in houses just looking up going, is that a bus falling towards us?
No one ever promised it would make sense.
I just love it.
Oh, I just remembered something, actually. I swear he pops up, like, for maybe 5 seconds, but the guy who does the voice for SpongeBob... I can't remember his name. Is that it?
I
really don't know. But yes, I know the guy who does it on site. Not right. By name, but yeah, he was in it very briefly. He's the guy that's going to buy the house... I think he's buying the house. You see him again towards the end. Oh, it doesn't really matter, but I noticed him anyway, and I was like, oh, it's SpongeBob. Yeah, that was just an aside, sorry.
you know what's spooky?
Mm.
The guy who voiced SpongeBob is also dead.
What?
Mm-hmm.
SpongeBob.
Yeah.
SpongeBob is dead. The well, original, hang on.
I wouldn't have phrased it like that, but yeah. The original SpongeBob guy is dead. I'm sure he is.
Oh, no. So there was there were two guys that did SpongeBob.
Oh no. never mind, I am wrong. Someone lit. No, Tom Kenny, who's the guy who does it, I swear to God, I heard somewhere that he was dead.
Oh, well, that guy's not dead.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you about that.
Oh, is this like some weird Mandela effect thing?
Oh, it could be, yeah. Yeah, so anyone at home who's panicking, the voice of SpongeBob, he's not dead. Hi, Tom.
Hi, dude.
You never know who's listening. Hi, Tom, you're still alive, and I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I guess that's it. That's Sky High.
Yep.
Reviewed. Done.
Yeah. The
never
the...
to be spoken of again.
Oh, I'll bring it up. I will shoehorn it.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Do we know what we're doing for the next episode then? Is it going to be Scott Pilgrim, or shall we discuss it off air and let the people wait?
I mean, it's always fun to let the people wait, but like, if you want to do Scott Pilgrim, then that is fine. I'm more than happy to watch Scott Pilgrim.
Cool. Well, I just thought, you know, the Mary Elizabeth connection, and I haven't watched it for a while, and I'm sure there's plenty of stuff we can talk about with it, so...
Yeah.
If you're good with that, then yeah, the next one will be Scott Pilgrim versus...
The world.
Yeah. I started to say it and then it just fell out of my brain and I was like, what was the rest of the title? It's not just Scott Pilgrim. Okay, cool. So yeah, next episode, yeah. Scott Pilgrim versus the world. Thank you everyone at home for listening. And we will speak to you again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. Bye guys.
Cool. Bye.
Bye.